In 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, we read, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That should be every Christian's motto, theme, dream, goal. That my children walk in truth. In Christ Jesus, we have the joy of sometimes even knowing more than just our children. I have spiritual children today. Same thing's true for them. Father, I ask today that you would give me words to speak of encouragement, of hope. I pray that those who are here would have ears to hear. Not what I say, but what you say. And may all the glory and honor from anything that's done in this service go to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. There were some schoolboys, three of them, standing in the schoolyard, and they were talking to each other about their dads. And the first little boy says, you know, my dad, he writes something down on a piece of paper, and he calls it a poem, and they give him $50 for it. The second little boy says, well, that's nothing. My dad scribbles on a piece of paper and calls it a song, and they give him $100 for it. And the third little boy says, yes, that's, you're way below where I'm at. So my dad writes something on a piece of paper and calls it a sermon, and it takes eight people to gather up all the money. Yeah. Have you ever thought kids look at things a little differently sometimes than we do? I think sometimes as parents we even get a little off, a little different maybe than what the truth is. So if I were to say to you, if you could wholeheartedly agree with this, there might be some doubt, and that is that Scripture is completely sufficient to equip me for being a father. Have you thought about it in that sense? Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of people I know, and some of them are going to be sitting in church today, have read a lot of self-help books, but they haven't studied the Jesus help book. This book is sufficient to make you a good parent. And I hear people argue, well, there's not a lot of technique in there. There's all you need. We see in Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And we read that and quite honestly kind of wonder about that, especially the part about the provoke. Have you ever really looked at that? What does that mean? But God gives us the answer if we're looking for it. Because if we go to Colossians 3:21, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Okay. So that's that constantly being at them. That's beating them down to the point that instead of being an encourager as a father, you're a discourager. Okay? So see, when we look at Scripture honestly, we can get out of here what it takes. We have a lot of books today that are out here. we have in the church allowed Christian counselors to preach a message that what our children really need is self-esteem, self-confidence. That's opposite of what the Bible teaches. In Proverbs 22, we would read that foolishness is laid up in the heart of a child. Okay? Foolishness in Scripture is pride, self-righteousness, thinking more of yourself than what you really should. That's described as a fool. What we've done over time in the church is we quit using this for a guide and have relied on men's wisdom. And actually, there's a scripture on that too, isn't there? When we quit relying on God, when we start relying on men's wisdom, that's like saying we can have a godly church based on worldly wisdom, based on standards set by the world. And you know what? I see churches today that seem to be trying to do that. I want you walking out of here feeling hopeful. Because God says in here, when we come in to Him, when we're living in Christ, all things are created new. That includes your relationships. No matter what they looked like in the past, God has given us the ability to create new relationships. Even though it's the same faces, we can create different relationships. The reason I can stand here today and quote 3 John about my children, I didn't come to Christ early in life. Well, I kind of did, but I sure walked the opposite direction for a lot of years. They were years when my children were growing up. I didn't teach them to know the Lord. They weren't raised, at least the fatherly influence wasn't there for them to know it. When I really got focused on Christ, when that became the goal of my life, guess what happened? There were hours of prayers. It's probably a more difficult route than what it would have been had I done right in the beginning. But seeing the change in their father, I can say without a doubt today that they're probably all in church this morning or have been last night. They've realized the value of Christ. It's not too late. In 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, critical verse. I think one of the really important verses for us as parents, especially fathers. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Did you hear me? From birth, from childhood, from their earliest memories, it is critical that they be in the Word of God. It's critical that we teach them. Because the Scripture here says it makes them wise to salvation, to the ways of salvation. If I care for my children the way I say I do, and the way that almost all of us do, I need to understand it's important that I'm putting the sword of the Spirit into their life. It's the only thing by which it will make them wise in the ways of salvation. Wise in the ways of salvation is knowing Christ Jesus. Not actually part of the message, but if you would look in Daniel in chapter 1, it's talking about the Babylonians, and they've come in, they've taken over Israel. Look at who they take from the nation of Israel back to their country. They take two things here that I believe has spiritual importance. They take the financial things of God, okay? That's the gold, the silver, the bronze, the things in the temple that have extreme value. And they also take the children, and their special children. They're children who are good-looking, who have knowledge and wisdom are evident in their life. The ability to learn seems to be evident in them. But notice what it says they do with them. They take them back to their country, put them in their church or worshiping their gods, and they indoctrinate them. It says they teach them all of their writings, I believe is how it puts it, okay? They're indoctrinating them into their religious beliefs, into their society. I'm going to tell you something. The devil, the demons that are at the devil's disposal today are still doing the same thing that the Chaldeans did then. Two of the most important things that you have that you can give are your tithe, what financially you give to the church, and your children. And that's who the devil wants to steal. The blessings of the church and the next generation. And some of you'll think that I'm over dramatic. And quite honestly, I don't care. You didn't write this message for me, God did. so don't be offended, okay? But I want you to understand what's at stake here. I also want you to understand, dads, you're the most important influence in your children's life. It may be as a grandfather, a dad, okay? Grandfathers aren't removed from this. We have instruction as grandfathers about being involved in our grandchildren's life, about being an example. I've already, I hope, showed you that it's never too late to start being that in your child or grandchild's life. I also want you to know the next generation, a lot of times, if you're really into cars, so's your son. If you're really into farming, so's your son. If you're really into God's word, so's your son. If you're not, don't expect them to be. You can't build a godly family on worldly standards. The Bible says those two war, okay? They're enmity to each other. They don't have the same goals. I hear a lot of complaining about things going on today in the world. Look at Daniel. The same thing's happening. The world is making spiritual skeptics out of our children. But it's not their fault. God told us they were going to do it. It's our fault. We didn't provide them the example that they needed. It's not too late in Christ. Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all patience, long-suffering, and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their eyes away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Colossians 2:4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Though I am absent in flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up, established in the faith, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Listen, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Last verse. Look at it almost backwards. God has given you the right, as joint heirs with Christ, to stand in authority over all principality. He's given you the power which resides in us by the Holy Spirit to be complete in Christ Jesus. God's already done all this for us. Believe and receive. Get it in your heart. And then get serious. There's some scary things. In a recent study that I've become pretty aware of, teenage youth that were in Christian camps, Bible camps, church camps, all of them professing Christian. Okay? There's four basic tenets that you look at. That the Bible is trustworthy, accurate account of the life of Jesus, and it's the infallible word of God. Okay? That's the first one. That Jesus is God. Second one. Jesus lived, died, and came back to life. That's the third one. And that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Okay? Again, I repeat, these are Christian kids in a Christian camp. Okay? And they profess to be Christian. Only 10% of those youth believed that all four of these tenets were accurate. The one that creates the most doubt is that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Fully 33%, a third of all of those interviews, believe that Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, and other great religious leaders could equally get you to heaven. When I was looking at that, it scared me. It's not that our youth today are more gullible. They don't believe the Da Vinci Code was truth. They don't believe that a lot of the things that we worry about that they see all of a sudden become their standard. But they are hearing what's out there in the world. And the world, the Chaldeans, are telling them all of these ways are just as good. Aren't we? Don't we hear that all the time? What's going on in our schools, in our society here in the United States? Exclusivity has become a bad word. But the Bible says we're an exclusive people, a chosen people that's exclusive. We adopt the worldly standards and then wonder why our children have. The Bible says that the blessing of money, of financial things in Luke, is the least important thing that God gives us. And I can't tell you how many churches I've been in that are struggling to do ministry because they don't have enough money. It's not the most important thing. Faith is. See, we've got things backwards and wonder why we got the result we got. But I also want to give you some hope. The same interview, the kids who faithfully, and that was termed daily or at least four times a week, studied the Bible, that said they had daily devotions, studied the Bible. 99% of that group said they had an effective prayer life, that they could see results, and that they had seen the miraculous with regard to the Holy Spirit. Now, it wasn't the healing of the blind, but that the Holy Spirit impacted their life and directed some of their decisions. Okay. It's here. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So parents, rethink how you're doing your Bible study at home. If you think the most important thing is that your child's successful in society and our culture, rethink it. Start today. Set aside specific time on a daily or at least weekly basis, that you sit down with your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, someone that you influence, and talk about the Word of God. See, if we can get them to where they believe that this is the infallible Word of God, and they see that it impacts your life on a daily basis, we've got a lot less to worry about. If it sounds like that I'm saying that I have the answer for society today, it's true. Okay? I do. It's Jesus Christ and getting back to his word. I can't tell you the impact still today that my grandfather, Jordan, had in my life in one simple way, and he died when I was 9 years old. I spent a lot of time, stayed all night with him a lot of times. I don't think I was ever there at night that whoever was there was expected to read the Bible together. I assume that he did that when I wasn't there, but I know he did it when I was. That's still one of my memories of my grandfather, who I don't remember well because of the age and everything when he passed. The influence you have in someone else's life will never be more evident than if you teach them this is the infallible word of God and that you can believe what it says is true, including I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but through me, as said by Jesus. Wake up. You've had the toolbox all along. Take your greatest tool out and share it with a child.
Appreciate the words of wisdom there, especially from the scriptures. There's a words that of a song that we haven't, the new creation, that we haven't begun to sing yet. But it's, Lord, make me a better man. Very appropriate for this morning on Father's Day, especially with the words that you gave us, Charlie. Sometimes I just can't help myself, but we need to reach out to our God who can make us that better person, the better father, the better man. Let's go ahead and have the benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages and now and forevermore. Amen.